Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, January 10th, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That's me. Today we launch the 2011 edition of the Erotic Mind podcast series. This is the longest running of the four interview series currently underway. Since its inception back in early September 2008, we've had the opportunity to meet dozens of brilliant visual and literary erotic artists. It's astonishing that every artist I interview has something unique to reveal about the creative process involved in this specialized art form. I truly love interviewing these ingenious people, and judging from your comments, I guess you like it too. This week's show takes us to the wilds of St. Louis, Missouri, don't you know, where we meet an exceptionally talented young man who is making his mark as a sex writer. I have the pleasure of welcoming Johnny Murdoch, and you should note that this is his very first interview. You know, while researching Johnny and his work for the show, I discovered to my great delight that he is a wonderfully old-fashioned kind of guy. And he's a man with a conscience. He contributes to the world of erotic art on several different fronts. Fiction, for sure, but also erotic comics and his marvelous non-fiction sex writing that is both thought-provoking and stirs the soul. I also prevail upon Johnny to share with us two selections from the fruit of his erotic mind. For more of Johnny, be sure to visit him on his site, johnnymurdoch.com, and you can also find him on Facebook and Twitter, too. Today's podcast is once again brought to you by the granddaddies of male masturbation toys, the amazing Fleshlight and Fleshjack. For those of you who have never seen one of these brilliant devices, let me describe it to you. It looks like a huge flashlight, thus the very clever names, don't you know? Inside the durable plastic case, there is a soft, fleshy inside called cyberskin. And trust me, this stuff is aptly named. It's phenomenal! But that's just the beginning. What makes the Fleshlight and Fleshjack so freaking amazing is that you get to design and personalize just about every aspect of the unit you purchase. Now, what other toy company allows you to do that? And ladies, here's a tip. This is the perfect gift for your man. You know how I keep talking about the mutual joys and important information shared when a couple masturbates together, right? Well, this is the ideal masturbation toy for him. Check it out and see for yourself. I know you will agree, nothing beats a Fleshlight. Look for their banner in the sidebar of drdicksexadvice.com. You'll be so glad that you did. Okay, on with the show. Holy cow, Johnny Murdoch. Welcome to DrDickSexAdvice.com. Thank you for joining us. I'm so stoked that we finally get to do this Erotic Mind podcast together. You know, you've been on my must-have as a guest list for a while now. So now that you're here, would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Hello, everyone. I'm really flattered to be here, and I want to thank Dr. Dick for inviting me on. This is actually my first, like, real interview as Johnny Murdoch, so I'm kind of excited to take part in it.
Get out. So I'm breaking your cherry, so to speak, as it were.
You are. You were. Well, we're in the middle of the interview, so it happened, I guess.
Oh. So like I said, I've been dying to get a piece of you ever since I discovered johnnymurdoch.com. And when I read your Twitter blurb, erotic writer, blogger, zinester, print and web fetishist, and somewhat functional designer, I was hooked for sure. Are you always this clever and sardonic?
I try to be sometimes, but not always. Let's say I like to think I am, and occasionally it actually comes through.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Because I would hate to think that you actually fall out of bed and you're clever and sardonic right off the bat, because then I would hate you for sure.
Right.
So, alrighty then, before we get to talk talking about erotic art in general and your contributions to that art form in particular, let's see if we can uncover something of the fellow behind this sex writer. Is Johnny Murdoch your real name or a nom de plume?
It is a nom de plume. It is not
that
my
right?
Real.
Is that right? It was mm-hmm. a cool one. How did you come up with it?
Actually, the first part, the Johnny, it comes from a porn star, Johnny Hazard.
Ah, one of my favorites.
Murdoch comes from one of the animated characters in the band Gorillaz.
Ah.
And as I was, like, getting ready to start, like, publishing online, I was, like, sitting at my computer thinking, like, you know, what am I going to name myself? And I happened to have, like, Johnny Hazard up on my computer screen and a gorilla sitting next to the computer. And I'm like, you know, those two names go well together, so I get a lot of compliments on the name, but I also feel bad because I recognize that it looks like a real name, so like I have people who write me and they get really invested, and then I have to be like, well, by the way, I'm not really called this.
So you chose to have a nom de plume just to protect your day-to-day identity, I'm assuming. A lot of folks in the business do that.
Pretty much. There's actually, in my day-to-day life, there's actually no one that I really know that doesn't know what I do.
Uh-huh.
But it's, you know, it's something that I'm extremely proud of. And when you find out that you're getting published in Best Gay Erotica, like, you run around and you tell everyone.
Yeah. I know I would.
But at the same time, like, I recognize that because this isn't going to offer me financial stability for the rest of my life, I'm gonna have to have real jobs from time to time.
Yes.
And that I don't want, like, future employers, whoever they may be, to be able to Google my real name and come up with this right. stuff. Even though, again, like I said, I'm immensely proud of it.
Right. So, does it also allow you some freedom to be, when you're writing, to be someone other than your real persona?
In the beginning, it might have. Now, I think that what people see, like, what people see to come through on Facebook or on my blog, I think it's actually really accurate to who I am. And so I don't actually say anything as Johnny Murdoch that I would not say in real life.
Interesting. So, Mr. Murdoch, so to speak, as it were, can you give us a bit of a bio? Where did you grow up? Did you write as a kid? When did you discover the power of adding erotic or sexual material to your work? Or was it there all along?
Well, I grew up in a small town in Missouri, a bit south of St. Louis, where I live now. I did start writing fairly early, but it was always kind of like, it was always kind of fan fiction or pastiches of, like, the comic books I was reading or the movies I was watching. I definitely come from kind of a like, comic book and science fiction background as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
So my early stuff had, like, giant aliens, and then I was writing, like, Terminator stories because Terminator 2 was huge when I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of always wanted to tell stories. And then as I got into high school, I recognized that, like, everything that I ever thought that I wanted to be when I grew up came from a story.
Interesting.
And so I realized that I might be better suited to actually telling and creating stories rather than trying to fulfill any of these given roles that I picked up while watching X-Files and thinking that I wanted to be an FBI agent.
Oh, cool.
As far as, like, adding erotic or sexual material into my work, that probably came fairly early on in high school or late even in junior high. I remember having a dream about...
Was it puberty?
Right, exactly. I remember having a really filthy dream about Kurt Cobain. And... like, finding it so exciting that I, like, when the next day I actually, like, wrote out the entire dream into
no
a notebook.
Kidding. No kidding.
Yeah. It took me a little bit longer to realize that actually, like, writing this stuff is what I want to be doing as a writer. When I realized that, that's when I actually started to actually be a productive writer, and that's what led me to being a... I don't know if you get to call me a professional writer, but someone who's been published.
Right. So I understand that you have a partner. Is this person a partner in crime or a life partner or both?
Very much both. He is crucial to everything that I do. We've been together for 8.5 years now. And we met when I was only 19 or 20. We started dating when I was 21. So he's been at this point in my life, he's been a very significant portion of my life. Nearly a third of it. So he's who I write for. He's my first reader. He's the one who like has to hear me bounce all of these crazy, dirty ideas off of before I actually get to around to writing them.
Right. So there's just the one partner. Pity. You're so not trendy. What, the polyamory craze hasn't hit the show me state yet?
Actually, it has. I know we're going to get into this. We'll get into this a little later, but I'm part of a group called Sex Positive St. Louis. Uh-huh. And of the four co-founders of that, I'm the only monogamous one.
Get out.
And so I know a plethora of polyamorous people. Like, so many of my best friends are polyamorous. And I find myself as, like, the one actually gay guy being like, well, I have one, and he's the one I want.
Well, I congratulate you because, you know, I love an old-fashioned kind of guy. There you have it. So listen, yeah. I read a little something that you wrote about your first year living with your partner. You wrote, when I moved in with my partner, I did something unthinkable. I stopped masturbating. Though we had been sexually active before we moved in together, but still masturbated occasionally, and at 21, I needed to orgasm more than once a week. Still, I felt bad when I did, almost like it was a betrayal of our relationship. And I promised myself that I'd stop when we moved in together. My God, what were you thinking?
So when we first moved in together, I came in with a lot of the assumptions that I think that most heteronormative straight people come in. They come in with this idea that you find the one person and they're the only person you're supposed to be attracted to for the rest of your life.
Yes.
And they're the only person that you're going to want to have sex with or daydream about or fantasize about. And so that anything outside of that was something that made me feel really, really guilty.
Interesting.
And it took me quite a long time to get over that, even after we started having the conversations about, like, wait, what do you mean you're still masturbating? I am, too.
Oh, my God.
Even after we had those conversations, it still was something that I had to take a while to get over because I felt bad for doing it, and I felt jealous knowing that he was doing it.
No kidding.
So I think it's, like, this is one of the things that I really want to stress as someone who's trying to be a sex educator, is that, like, this doesn't just happen to a straight women or naive men. Mm-hmm. It's something that can happen to gay people, to queer people of all stripes. We are all coming from the same culture, at least if you're coming up in, you know, the American culture.
Right. But the rest of that nonfiction piece that you wrote is so grand. I would like to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, to read the final paragraphs of that piece, the section titled Deus XXX Machina.
When I'm alone, porn allows me to exercise my erotic imagination and step out of my own personal experience in a way that is safe and clearly within the boundaries that my partner and I have set for one another. We've made a choice to remain monogamous, so we sometimes use porn as a sort of pressure release valve. It's a given that we're not going to share all of the same sexual interests or be able to fulfill all of each other's sexual needs. Porn fills the gaps between his interest and mine. It allows us to experiment with our attraction to people outside of our own relationship without engaging with them directly in a way that violates our boundaries, as we've made the distinction that engaging with others live, either through chat or webcam, is off limits. Like every other aspect of sex in American culture, porn is shrouded in misinformation, knee-jerk morality, and misguided emotions. Surveys and news stories about how porn destroys relationships are rampant, but nearly all fail to mention that what really dooms the relationships in question is a lack of communication. Porn is just like every other tool in our sexual arsenal. With proper communication, consideration, and consent, it can play an enjoyable and informative role in a couple's sex life. I lost out on a lot of great orgasms the first year my partner and I lived together because I believed I was supposed to stop masturbating. I made that choice because I was following someone else's rules instead of building our relationship in terms of what worked for us. I can safely say that our sex life is better now because I duck into the office when he's not home to jerk off. When I do, I may just download a film for the two of us to watch when he gets back, or print out a story to read him at bedtime.
How grand. So I want to clarify two things. When you say monogamous, you mean sexually exclusive, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so you're using those two words interchangeably.
Right.
Okay, good. You also bring out in that, actually the last sentence there, is that there is a therapeutic aspect to reading erotica aloud to one another. Would you not agree with that?
Absolutely, I do. In fact, for Sex Positive St. Louis, I recently wrote the second part of a series on ways to actually communicate, because we're always being told that you must communicate, but we're rarely given like actual practical ways to do it. And I think that erotica, especially when it comes to like written erotica or dirty stories, I think that it's a great way for people to learn a new language for how to discuss sex.
Oh,
because you're
so great.
You're going to people who put a lot of thought into the words they choose to write their stories,
right.
and you're finding new ways to talk about the things that you may have always had in your head, but you didn't know how to verbalize.
Right. At the same time, if I'm reading a story that has, you know, cunt and cock and fuck, but I can't say those words aloud because I'm prohibited from saying, you know, to verbalizing those kinds of things myself. But if I'm reading them aloud because they're somebody else's words, it's so much easier. And so that's a very interesting and a very liberating kind of thing, because when I finally hear myself verbalize those forbidden words, then I realize that, you know, the sky didn't fall, and, you know, I can start saying those words, you know, to my partner and, you know, in my lovemaking and all that kind of stuff. I use it, I suggest erotica reading aloud to a lot of my clients in my private practice, and it really works.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
Good. So listen, I want to make sure that you also know that you're welcome to burst into reading other examples of your work at any moment, including from your fiction, or hopefully from your fiction. Talking about the erotic mind is swell and all, but savoring the fruits of that mind's labor is even better.
Great, I'll plan on doing that.
Okay, good. So let's talk about Crash Course. You have a great page dedicated to it on your site, johnnymurdoch.com. The intro reads, Crash Course is the erotic science fiction comic that I created with T.J. Wood. Wood responded to an ad for another, never-released project, and we worked so well together that we started banding about ideas to pitch to Class Comics. We went through several between the two of us, a few that I hope will see the light of day, but we hit our stride with Crash Course. From there, it came together quickly, and an outline that started with, we introduce Crash Course as he's running for his life, bare-ass naked, except for his boots. Sounds like my kind of comic. Can you expand on the backstory a bit? We already know that you're a big comic fan.
One of the things that I do on the side is just some freelance production work for comic books, and even that I haven't done for a few years, but I was hunting around comic job message boards for gigs to do. I do what's called lettering, which is the like word balloons and the graphic design of the issue and that kind of stuff. And so I had actually worked on a project with TJ before we knew each other. Under my real name, I was just doing it as I was lettering a comic that he had drawn.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided that I wanted to write a porn comic. So I started like looking for artists who could do short bits, for free just to see how we collaborated.
Right.
And TJ was one of the people who responded to me and didn't realize that I was the same person who'd already lettered this comic that he worked on. And he had, in his message to me, he had specified that he was gay. And at that time, I was writing like short, straight, erotic comics because I thought it would be easier to find artists to work on straight porn than it would be to work on gay porn. But once I found out that TJ was gay, I started working up a short script for him that involved gay sex, basically. And I was so excited by what I got back from him that I really wanted to work some more. And I think it was his suggestion actually that we pitched something to Class Comics, which, if you're not familiar with them, they're one of the, well, they're absolutely the biggest like comic book publisher of gay porn comics. There are a few others, but like Class Comics, this is what they do. Like they're it's basically like the top range of erotic gay comics. And it's the brainchild of Patrick Fillion, who's been like he's been a stalwart in that world for years and years and years now. I remember when I very first got the internet, coming across a picture of one of his characters called Camilla Cat, and like from that image on, like I was like, oh wait, I can mix these two worlds of like comic books, which I've loved forever, and men and porn. And I can have both worlds. So the opportunity to put together my own gay porn comic and then have that be accepted by Patrick for Class Comics was just an amazing experience.
I'll say. He is an amazing fellow, that's for sure.
He and his partner, Fraser, who helps him run the business and also write some of their comics, they are two of absolutely like the nicest guys I've ever worked with. You, as a writer, when you're coming up, you hear all kinds of stories of like crazy editors and mean people in the business side, and the two of them are just like absolutely like the nicest guys I've ever talked to.
How cool. So, while we're on this subject, let's talk a little bit about the difference between illustrated erotica and the written word erotica scene. There is a huge difference. Would you not agree?
Absolutely. There, in fact, I struggle a lot going between the two because writing them is so drastically different. I have to when you're writing for an artist, like you just have to give him like the hints and clues of what you would like, and then he is responsible, he or she is responsible for bringing that to the page. And when it's just written prose, it's something that I can control and I have to be responsible for every aspect of it. But the effect of it is also different. I think that actually erotic comics have the potential to be the best of all worlds because they don't require a lot of money to produce like gay porn films do. So a lot of gay porn producers, they go with what they know is going to make them money, which is why we see release after release after release that follows the exact same formula.
Oh, right? God, yes.
With erotic comics, it's just like it can basically be one or two people who brings an entire comic to fruition.
Or and entire so universe to fruition. I mean, you can create
absolutely
whatever, you know, fanciful thing comes to mind, where a person creating a porn movie, like myself with Daddy O Productions, I was completely limited by, you know, the here and the now and the people that I was working with.
Right. And that's why I think one of the reasons why when we went to do Crash Course, I wanted to do like this big epic, like kind of pulp fiction sci-fi comic, because I had no limitations. And in a way, this is also unfair to TJ, because I just had to be like, you know, and then we have a great market and there's all kinds of different aliens and there's spaceships in the background, and he had to actually like create this stuff. Mm-hmm. But because comics are such like they're kind of a democratic art form, the two of us can do that, and we can create an experience for our readers that have both the ideas and the words and the expressiveness of and the freedom of written erotica, and the visual component that we all know, we all like to see a dirty picture.
Right. So when you are collaborating, how specific do you have to be? Do you have to say like Crash Course is going to be wearing a red cape as opposed to a blue one, or do you let that, you know, just kind of flow from the illustrator's mind?
There are some things that if I want it to be really specific, I can go into as much detail as I want. But a lot of that, I step back and I let TJ do his part, because I want it to be his comic as well.
Uh-huh.
So in the first issue, we have two different sex scenes. And the first one, I actually like totally backed off. And in my script, all it said was, for two pages, they fuck. Because I wanted to give him the opportunity to create the sex scene that he wanted to create.
Right. Well, that was very generous.
Yeah, the other sex scene was panel by panel. I broke it down into what everyone was doing in each panel.
Interesting. Good, good, good. So there's a great deal of flexibility, and if you're collaborating with somebody that you respect and he or she respects you, then the sky is the limit, I would suspect, right?
Absolutely.
How wonderful. How wonderful. Would you mind sharing another juicy tidbit of your work for us now?
Yeah, this is an excerpt from my story, Bodies in Motion. This is the story that was recently published in Best Gay Erotica.
Cool.
And to set it up a little bit, it's from the perspective of a young man who is starting his first or second year of teaching, and he's going back to his old high school. And along with that, he's discovered that a lot of the old teachers, a lot of the new teachers are people that he went to school with, so it kind of sets up that dynamic of the people he already interacted with in high school, and it brings him back to that world.
Interesting.
At the end of September, Principal Lobeck and Superintendent Lowell call another mandatory meeting to discuss the football season and the homecoming dance. Dozens of teachers fill the high school cafeteria, splintering into cliques as impenetrable as those formed by the students during the day. Against the far wall are a coffee maker and a box of stale donuts, like we're in an AA meeting. I sit and try to pay attention in a way that suggests I'm not interested in doing anything but. Nathan is sitting at a table not far from me, though, and it's hard not to be aware of him. He sits with the athletic department. After the meeting, I shuffle paperwork back into my briefcase and I stand. Not far from the door, a small circle is formed of people I can't help but recognize. Marcia, the lovelorn music teacher. Bill, the prematurely balding former rock star. Davey, the sociopathic sociology teacher. Carol, the nurse with cocksucker lips. And Nathan. Marcia waves at me, urging me to join them. I try not to, but I'm like a meteor that can't avoid the Earth's gravity. I'm like the moon. We should all go for drinks after work, Marcia is saying. The group nods, agreeing with her. Carol looks at Nathan like she wants to duck behind the bleachers. Nathan smiles at me. I try to avoid looking him in the eyes. I can't believe we haven't gotten together before this, Carol says. It's unclear whether she's talking to all of us or just Nathan. I know, Marcia says. It appears that if anyone's going to stand in my way of avoiding a high school reunion, it's her. I can't go anywhere tonight, she says, but what do you say we go out for happy hour on Friday night? I bet we all have so much to catch up on and so many stories. Can't on Friday night, said Nathan. Football. Carol pouted. But maybe some weeknight, he says. The group nods in agreement, and I fake a smile and excuse myself. In the parking lot, I walk determinedly toward my car. As I stop to find my key, a hand falls on my shoulder. Where are you rushing off to? It's Nathan, of course. Home, I say. Oh, to your boyfriend? No. I thought you might like to get a drink, you know, without the reunion. We would have actually had to have been a union for it to be a reunion. I have a lot of papers to grade, I say. Come on, Johnson, papers can wait. Let's grab a beer. Sorry, I can't, really, maybe another time. Nathan stares at me, squints his eyes a little as though that will help him figure me out. Excuse me, I say, nodding back at my car. Nathan steps closer and his chest presses against mine. He pushes me back until my ass is against the car door. He kisses me. Presses his body against mine, his hips against mine. I just want to have a little fun with you, he says. I have to go home, I say. On the drive home, my heart is beating loudly. I can feel my blood race through my veins. My cock is hard. At home, I don't grade papers. I can barely make it in the door before I'm pulling my cock free from my khakis. I think about Nathan's 5 o'clock shadow, the definition of his chest beneath his shirt, his smirk and his inquisitive eyes, the force of his crotch pressing against mine. I ejaculate, kneeling on my living room floor, spraying cum onto my work shirt.
Totally. Well, I can see why that went into Best Gay Erotica, don't you know?
Thank you.
And I'm just looking at my clock, and I see that we are over time, and I'm still nervousy about listening to that story. And I have so many... questions to ask you yet. May I prevail upon you to join us again next week?
Absolutely, I would love to.
Oh, yay. I love it when you're easy. but before we go, would you give us your website address and walk us around a little bit?
Absolutely. My website is johnnymurdoch.com. That's johnnymurdoc.com. I've made it as minimalist as possible because I want to be able to focus on writing and not have a big clunky website. But on my website, you can find a good selection of my erotic fiction. I think I have 5 or 6 stories up there that you can read for free. I also have links where you can... Thank you. I have links where you can buy digital versions of some of my work, and a little like making of page for Crash Course, my comic, as well as links to essays that I've written and interviews that I've done.
Great, great, great. And we can buy your work through your site?
You can buy some of it, yeah. I have a few collections of work that I've made available for download in either PDF, or you can actually buy it through Amazon as well for the Kindle.
Great, great, great. You're also on Facebook and Twitter, right?
I am.
Cool beans. So until we meet again next week, Johnny, we will be visiting you in cyberspace.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So bye for now.
Bye.
What a great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this time for part two of my conversation with Johnny Murdoch and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is the fabulous Fleshlight and Fleshjack. You know, all you guys out there who keep complaining to me about your short fuse, well, here's a tip for you. Being a great lover, being able to control your orgasmic response and last for as long as you'd like takes practice. Sure, you can learn to last longer simply by using your hand, but now there's an even more effective way to train yourself for sexual stamina and endurance with a partner. Allow me to introduce you to the Endurance Jack. It's just one of the fine designs from Fleshlight. It comes with a stamina insert, which has extra large bumps and a tight canal. With just a little practice with this puppy, you can last longer, gain control over your ejaculatory response, and avoid untimely climax. Once you've accomplished this with the Endurance Jack, you'll have all the skills that you need to last and last with a partner. And remember, these fine products are made in the good old US of A. Look for the Fleshjack banner right there in the sidebar of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Hey, speaking of sex toys, I want to take a moment to invite you to check out my adult products review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right. Now you can see what's hot and what's not in adult products. You can even find our reviews of several Fleshlight products. You'll find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies, sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, herbal products, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is DrDickSexToyReviews.com. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.